B-Pod Studios.
Belger. I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have I earned it? I don't know. You guys, that's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think? Should we take a poll?
Let's take a poll, Tommy. In fact, Felger, Maz already way ahead of you. Take a poll. Because Jim Murray believes, like I do, that we're not looking at Brady's last year. Where he differs from me is I just think that means he's done with football. Murray thinks he goes and plays somewhere else.
It's true. Yeah, because again, the most important thing, after reading this article today, the cover article in Men's Health, it is more apparent than ever. The most important thing to Tom Brady is the brand, TB12, and showing the world that his methods work. His methods, along with Guerrero and the pliability, all of this works. For you to sign up for TB12. You want to be like me? You got to sign up for TB12. Again, what did it say actually on the cover? What's the headline?
Oh, no, yeah, the headline is Why Tom Brady Will Never Quit.
He will never quit. So there you go. He's not going to quit. This is his last year in New England. So next year, where will he play? Will it be Dallas, like Colin Cowherd believes? Maybe Denver? Maybe the Tennessee Titans? I think there's a good...
Yeah. Clunker!
Yeah, Tennessee. Old pal Mike Vrabel, head coach there, building up a pretty good defense. The one thing they're short of is a quarterback. This will likely be Marcus Mariota's last year. Good fit down there. So there you go. I'll have to buy myself a Tom Brady 12 Tennessee Titans jersey.
He and Belichick are not best friends.
I will be rooting for
He doesn't love Belichick.
I'll be rooting for Tom Brady next year. And praying that the Patriots tank, so God help me, if Brady goes and they actually try to win games next year. What I would be praying for is Brady to succeed in Tennessee for a season, win a Super Bowl down there just for kicks. The Patriots go 1-15, and then in 2021, they draft Trevor Lawrence, the hairbag quarterback out of Clemson, and we get a whole decade of success to look forward to there.
Bill is telling you, I've not only hit the turn, I'm on the last couple of holes of this golf course.
The Trevor Lawrence thing is already going to start bugging me. It's a pipe dream, Murray. It's ridiculous. Is Bill Belichick still here or not?
He's here, and I know he's going to want to win games.
So he's not going to be 1-15.
I know.
As long as Bill's here, you're not going to be 1-15. You're just
not. What does Belichick do next?
So
he's going to retire.
So to me, it's just pipe dream.
But Bill, how bad do you really want to win another title without Brady, though? So your best chance to do that is to draft this kid who looks like a complete stud, best quarterback coming in since Andrew Luck.
I don't think Bill feels that. I don't think he thinks that way.
Maybe he collects draft assets to move up the board like he was going to do for Baker Mayfield. He's got 14 picks this year.
To go from 20 to number one for a guy who's a consensus number one, if some bad team's sitting there, no, they're taking him. You don't trade that number one overall pick when that guy's sitting there.
Yeah, I can guarantee you Bill doesn't think that way.
He thinks I can win without that guy.
Bingo.
That's what Bill thinks.
Yeah. Bingo. That's exactly what he does. In fact, that's what he's trying to do now.
Boom. I'm not going to chase that talent.
Boom. So why'd he go after Baker Mayfield?
So, yeah.
Fair
right,
point.
Jimmy.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Fair point. I mean, again, but see, and even then I would tell you that I think Bill believes he can win different ways. That's what I think. That Bill looks at it and says, okay, look, what are my chances of getting a Baker Mayfield or the next Tom Brady? My chances of doing that are slim.
So anyway.
So I got to find a guy that can work with it.
Okay, so, but either way, I mean, I just think too many things have to happen there for you to end up number one overall in 2 years to draft Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's just, boy, I mean, because I think, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If Tom Brady shatters his Achilles today at practice and Brian Hoyer's your quarterback, you're going 10-6 and still winning this division.
This thing again.
You are. You're going to win this division with Brian Hoyer as your starting quarterback. The competition still sucks. You're not going 1-15, even if Bill retires and Josh takes over. You know the ass clownery that you're still going against in the AFC? You're winning too many games to be the number one overall pick to draft Trevor Lawrence. It's just not, just please, I don't want to hear this. I don't want 20 calls a day on tanking for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, a more realistic thing is someone like Garoppolo flaming out in San Francisco. And I don't mean that, you know, in that sense, he would be the first one to go flame. I'm, you know what I mean? You know, that he goes there and he gets hurt or doesn't perform and
fail.
Yeah, like that. So, like, I think that's, you want to dream about something like that where Bill takes someone from the middle versus tanking to the all the way bottom. Would you come on? So, please, I don't want to hear the Trevor Lawrence thing. But either way.
Have a little fun and a dream for a day.
Either way, if Brady goes to another team next year, you root for that team and not the Patriots?
Without question.
Should we take a poll?
Yeah, so, without question. I'm rooting for Brady.
So go ahead. You've taken the poll. What are the results?
Jay Stu?
On the Felger and Maz Twitter account, the question, as posed by Jim Murray in our email exchange this morning, when Brady leaves next season, love the opinion, who will you be rooting for more? 3,731 votes. The Patriots are at 67%. Tom Brady's new team at 33%.
Seems high.
See, and I am just sort of, if for nothing else, I don't want Tom Brady to go. I like the team being good and what that means for all of us. But from a side topic, I am fascinated to see what they would do with another guy. I mean, I still think that the Matt Castle year is one of your greatest accomplishments. I do. Every other team who loses that quarterback becomes complete fodder, complete garbage. From, you know, my Packers to the Colts with Peyton Manning, they lose that guy and they go to the bottom of the league. And you go 11-5? I think that really says something about you.
Sure it does.
With Castle, with everyone other than Brady, since this thing started, you're 14-6. No one else does that. I think that's a great statement about what you are, and that interests me. In those Castle games, I was interested. I found that to be a compelling year. I did. And if Belichick had a chance to do it with someone else, if Brady walks and has a chance to do it with someone else, I'd be rooting for the Patriots. I'd be rooting for that story. That's a great story.
Oh, to me, the team is bigger than the player. I'm sorry. And I, you know, now I sound like one of these, you know, you root for the laundry. But the fact is that this is where we live. So that's just the way it works. Like, I look at it, you absolutely, you're interested in the team. I mean, I'm not telling you I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be rooting against Brady, per se.
Yeah.
I mean, but if they met
well, I mean, I'd be rooting for both. I mean, like, you know, sure. Just like I'd love to see Garoppolo face the Patriots now. You know, that story, tremendous drama with the story. So I'd be rooting for both.
Of course. I mean, so what do we want? The Ray Bourque story all over again? Is that what we want?
So
we're going to bring Colorado Avalanche fans and root for Ray Bourque over the Bruins and have a stupid parade when Brady wins in Tennessee? Oh, that'll be fun.
Murray, would you go to the parade?
No.
So, no. But this is the point.
This, like, is what I mean. You want to go to the Brady Parade?
I thought. I'm sorry. I got that confused. I thought you meant the.
You'd go to the Titan Super Bowl Parade here in Boston.
Yeah, I would, because it's Brady. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a different time then. That was like the most pathetic thing that ever happened in Boston sports history. That parade for Bourque at the time. People were so starved for a winner. Oh, let's have a parade. No, this is for Brady. It's different. We've had the success. No, I go to that one.
See, I don't know.
You meant the Patriots if they won with like Jared Stidham. Please.
I mean, but that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Ray Bourque winning in Colorado and rooting for that over this.
You don't think that would be a great statement and a great accomplishment if the Patriots won with Stidham or Hoyer or anyone else?
No, because then it becomes, see, it's about the system, and it gives ammo to all these other a-holes throughout
talk. What if it is? What if it is about the system? No, and what if that proves it?
Well, I would hate that, and I would stand there with crossed arms and boo.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'd like to see it.
Great story.
Of course you would, because you want Brady out of here.
No, I want Jimmy G back.
All right, so the whole jumping off point here again is really the events of the last 2-3 days. Brady gets a phony contract extension, which is no contract extension at all. In fact, it's the opposite. In fact, ironically, the new contract makes it more likely that he leaves than they had before. If he just kept it as it was and did nothing, he was less likely to leave because they still had the franchise tag at their disposal. The team still had leverage over Brady that if they wanted to keep him, they could keep him. And in this restructure, it's because it's not an extension. I want to call it something else. In this new contract, they negotiated that away. So even though those two phony years were added, it's now more likely than less likely that he leaves. And he said as much yesterday in his own words. And that's followed up today by the report, which has been confirmed that Brady's Brookline house is now for sale. And I told you yesterday, follow the real estate. Follow the real estate with Kyrie Irving. Follow the real estate with LeBron James. Follow the real estate with Gronk. Follow the real estate when Brady came back here in 2014. He built this house in 14. What also happened in 14? The Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, and Tom said, maybe I should get back there. Maybe I should start spending more time in Foxborough. The next thing you know, he's living and working in Boston and winning the parking spot again. That's no coincidence. Now the house is for sale. Follow the real estate. Jeff Darlington, ESPN, tweets out this afternoon, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen have indeed placed their Brookline home on the market for $39.5 million, I'm told. His closest property at Silo Ridge Field Club is nearly 3 hours from Foxborough. Where is that? They also own in New York City and reportedly have been looking at Greenwich, Connecticut and Alpine, New Jersey. Darlington says, this isn't to say Brady is making real estate decisions with the sole intention of leaving the Patriots at the end of the 2019 season, which his contract would reportedly allow. But it most certainly paves the way for their family roots in Boston to loosen. That's one way to put it. Of course, says Darlington, with Brady's full-time commitment to football in the fall, it's also possible for his family to live elsewhere outside of Boston while he finishes out his career with the Patriots. In other words, everything is now on the table. After this season, Tom Brady will be able to make a decision about his football future without the burden of family or contract to influence his mind. It will be solely about where he wants to finish his NFL career. So that's the story we're working on today. And he, you know, that's a pretty mild way to say it. He's not doing this with the sole intention of leaving the Patriots at the end of the 2019 season, but it most certainly paves the way for their family roots in the Boston area to loosen. I'd say the fact that they're living in Manhattan, yeah, there's some loosening of those family roots. And again, whether you believe it or not, the squaring away of Tom Brady for 3 years now, carrying on about the time I have to spend with my family and the off season and the commitment and the family demands from Giselle and the kids, and you want to be there for them, and you want to be there to pick them up at hockey practice, and you want to be there to do homework with them. He's now going to turn around and move the family to Manhattan or Greenwich, Connecticut, and still work in Boston? How do you square the two? That would just put a giant fat lie to everything he said the last 3 years about he's trying to spend more time with his family, I thought.
But after much discussion, my wife still supports my dream of playing to 45. That's it.
I don't know. That's a tough pull. Or he's going to move him to Greenwich, Connecticut, put the kids in school in Manhattan, and go to Nashville?
At the end of the day, after the conversation, my wife still supports my dream to play to 45 while the Patriots didn't.
Or freaking Dallas? Hey, you look like a giant hypocrite after shoving that family stuff down our throat for 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, again, I just come back to the simple thing, man. I generally dismiss what people say, and I focus on what they do. And he's got a one-year deal, and he just sold his house.
Well, you're jumping the gun.
Well, I'm sorry. He's put his house on the market is what I meant to say.
He's listed it. Okay, we continue with your... So I think this is it. I think it's it. I think unless something changes, that's the one qualifier. If the kids are put back in school in Boston, if he buys another house in Boston, if he takes the house off the market, you know, if something changes, then, you know, my take here changes. But if this is what it's going to be, if he's out, if he's selling the house and the kids are going to the school in Manhattan and he's buying in Greenwich, Connecticut, this is it. One and done last year. Am I overreacting? Your thoughts right after.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wait until you're 45, and what's the key to being so ageless? I don't know that you can still do this at such a high level.
It's really, you know, you got to take care of your body. So I wrote a book on it, literally. I live by it, and I think it's given me pretty good results. So I try to pass it on to the next generation so they don't have to go on through the same mistakes that I did, but everyone learns different ways, and hopefully I can be an inspiration. You know, that's really what I got, a great opportunity to prove to a lot of people that, you know, they didn't think I could do it, and hopefully I can. Well done is better than well said.
That was Tom Brady also yesterday about TB12 method, and now he's dedicated his life to it. So this is part of Murray's point. Murray also thinks Brady's done after this year, but he's not done with football. He's done with the Patriots. I still can't bring myself to go there, Murray. I can't bring myself to say Robert Kraft would ever allow that to happen. But he did just allow the franchise tag to be taken off the table. So doomsday, worst case scenario, there's nothing Robert can do about it. Which is telling and surprising that they would willingly give away leverage like that.
I mean, amazing.
When do they ever give away leverage over anyone?
Never.
In anything?
Never.
I mean, really? And that's just not typically what they do. And so Again, in that Tom Brady yesterday, I wrote a book on it, and he'll talk your face off. Long takeout piece in this Men's Health, headlined "Why Tom Brady Will Never Quit."
And it really is just one big advertisement for TB12 again.
And you know, and again, the special methods and the I said before, these things scare me. You know, like I mean, just listen. Like Neo in the Matrix.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's where it's like, oh, Jesus.
This was unbelievable.
So here's the author writing about Tom Brady and his brain exercises. Like Neo in the Matrix, he can seemingly slow down time in his mind and bend it to his will. He even talks in Neoisms. Quote, there's a comfort in the known as opposed to being uncomfortable with the unknown, he says. There are not many things that I unknow in football. You call the play, I see the defense. I know what to do. Say there's five guys going on routes, wherever the defense guards are. I think this writer just misunderstood the quote. Wherever the defense guards are, I'm going to throw it the opposite way. By the time I have the ball in my hands, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm more of a thinker, obviously, than a physical specimen, says Brady. So he spends 15 minutes per day using TB12 Brain HQ.
This was the other thing, too. That thing's so stupid.
I love this part.
Developed with posit recognition. That prep plus film study plus his well-known memory. He can accurately and vividly recall plays from decades ago. Plus 19 years of experience gives Brady special powers at the line of scrimmage. Like Neo in Matrix.
Neo!
So this is like, whenever I read something like this, and I think, you know, we're sort of past the... I was really worried about Brady and the PED stuff with Guerrero early on. It's been so long now that, you know, maybe he is the one special guy, but I'm always... Whenever someone has the secret sauce, the special method, the incredible training methods... Like, because I remember all the stories about Lance Armstrong. I remember all these guys. Manny Ramirez spent hours and hours and hours in the gym. He had some special sort of workout energy that no one could really understand. Well, then we did. And Lance Armstrong had all these training methods that were revolutionary, and then we understood what it really was. And all the way goes back, like...
Don't forget Manny's eye exercises.
Did Manny have eye exercises?
Oh, yeah. No, with the colored balls to be able to track pitches.
The one I loved was, remember way back when, before we were thinking of steroids, Roger Clemens would stick his hand in a bucket of rice.
Yep. And that's how he would strengthen his arm.
By sticking his hand in rice. And he would say, oh, he's got all these secret all these secret methods and these special training methods. And he's unlocked the key. And it turns out, no, he was just doing something.
No, he stuck his hand in a bucket of rice because that's where he hid the steroids.
It's like, so, you know, I don't mean to directly accuse Brady. I'm just saying, like,
typically a crock.
When something sounds too good to be true, it's like, oh, hang on to your hat. And that's, you know, Brady's, and these stories about Brady have been written out for years. It all started with a Sports Illustrated one years and years and years ago with the avocado ice cream. It's where it all started. And I looked at that and I said, and this Guerrero guy seems slimy and, But now here we are 6-7 years later and, you know, it's all good. So, you know.
The brain exercises, like, with his version of Angry Birds you got to download. Like, get out of here with this.
Give me a break.
Neo.
Yeah. There's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path.
He's going to take the snap into a backflip.
Back to your thoughts. Tyron in Tennessee. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tell you, man, I just think this is going to be his last year in New England. I don't think he's going to retire. I don't think that at all. I think he's dug in wanting to win one without Bill, and I think vice versa. Bill wants to win one without him. I'm just shocked that they gave Brady the leverage of becoming a free agency and not being able to be tagged in any way. But I tell you, and Jerry Jones brought this up yesterday when I was watching NFL Network. He brought up Brady, his leadership, how his team-friendly deals, the skill, trying to compare it to Dak. And he said, if only. And I've been told by people, not connected, but I believe Dallas is going to be the favorite if he hits the market. I believe the Cowboys, Jerry Jones does not like Kraft. Can you think he would love to stick to Kraft to get Brady at the end?
Okay, so let me just stop you. There's something about him becoming a Dallas Cowboy that is even to me more impossible. He's going to put on the star and move to Dallas.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
With the kids in school in Manhattan and Giselle at the chalet in Greenwich, and he's going to move to Dallas? No way.
For 4 months.
No, not happening. Now we're getting goofy. But the whole thing, Tyron said that Brady wants to prove he can win without Bill. I mean, again, as like sort of a sidebar benefit, sure. What competitor wouldn't want to, you know, prove something, you know?
Right, it's me, not him.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's just human nature if he felt that on some level. To the point where he would try and force his way out of town, no shot. If the Patriots came to him last week and said, here's 3 years, $90 million, half of it's guaranteed. Brady's here, the house isn't on the market, and the kids are still in school in Brooklyn. They're not looking in Manhattan.
I'd like to correct that.
Okay.
Brady's house is still on the market.
No, I know. I'm saying if, Jimmy, I said if.
Sorry.
The Patriots came to him with a real contract offer.
No, that's right.
He's not. The house is not going to be on the market. This is what I'm trying to say. That the reason the house is on the market is because the only reason he's here is because of the job, and the job is signaling to him that they don't value him the way he feels he should be valued, or his long-term future here isn't great. So,
right, it's not going to end the way I wanted it to end, so you know what? I'm going to take it into my own hands.
So I'm only here for the job, and if the job ain't a long-term prospect, then I'm out. I mean, that's all that is. But what I'm saying, Jimmy, is if the Patriots came to with a real contract offer, commensurate with what Breeze or Roethlisberger, that guaranteed extra years, he would be here. The house would not be on the market, and you'd hear nothing about him wanting to win without Bill. The only reason that comes to the table is because he views the team as not valuing him or not wanting him. Now, that's what that's about. Bill, I think that urge would be a little bit stronger. Andrew and Waylon, go ahead, Andrew. What do you got?
Wait a minute. You guys are all off base. Totally. This has nothing to do with Brady right now. This has to do with his kids. And he's thinking about the long term. He's going to move to New York or move to Alpine, New Jersey. They've got great prep schools out there for the kids. He's going to get his great education. He's not going to play football after this year. He's done, guys. Maz, you know what it's like. This is Andrew from Home Depot. You know me.
Okay. I'm going to cut you off there. You can talk to Maz at the Depot on your own time there. I know, because the prep schools in New England blow.
No, they're terrible. It's a terrible place to send your kids to school.
Very uncompetitive. No one ever comes out of here and goes to any good colleges or anything. They're caca. You might as well be in Jacksonville, Florida.
So the only thing I don't know is, was he saying that Brady's done at the end of the year and he's not playing for anybody else? Like, I think
that's what he just said.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's what his point is. And again, that's
which I agree.
Yeah, that's entirely possible, if not probable.
But would you stop with he's there because of the schools? He's there because that's where Giselle works and where they're comfortable, where they can blend in a little bit more and lead. It's sort of weird to say, but they can lead a more normal existence in New York than they could here.
No question.
Here's Zoe talking about this all day. Brady can't leave the house, you know, because we're so nuts that he has no life. He can't breathe here. And let's face it, Giselle was never meant for Boston. Not her bag. And so,
what do you think? You're better than us?
Yeah. She is too. But so in Manhattan, like it's for them. It's not the kids. Who moves to Manhattan for the kids? Would you stop?
No. Please,
it's for the parents. If you want to lose them for the kids, move to where I live.
You don't get it, Felger. They want to go to Choate.
I mean, I'm telling you, the whole idea that like this somehow means nothing. Why is he putting his house on the market, and why is he house hunting in New York?
I've heard very few people say this means nothing. I'll ask you again, people. Am I overreacting? Are we overreacting? Tell us if we are. Here's Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Right back to your phones. As promised, Guy is in Boston. What do you got, Guy? Hello, Guy.
Yes, Michael. I wanted to ask you a question. You said a little while ago that Tom Brady has to grow a set of balls. I don't think I think that boat has sailed. But Giselle's got enough for the both of them, and I don't think it would give her any problem to tell Belichick or Kraft to go and F themselves. Thank you.
Okay. Giselle's got a pair. I mean, she's not stranger to business or hardball tactics or negotiating or things like this. And we've been quoting this Men's Health article. There's another, you know, Brady takeout piece about the TB12 method and his lifestyle and lifestyle brand and all that. And it gets to some Giselle stuff. And you found the Giselle stuff to be telling Maz why.
Absolutely. Again, read that one quote again where he talks about Giselle and her upbringing.
Here we go. Next up, and it's a long piece, and, you know, so they're talking about all sorts of different things. So the writer says, next up, Brady turns his attention to Bündchen. Quote, Giselle is not really into sports, he says. Which, again, you just sort of stop there and go, oh, brother, here we go.
Shocker.
Giselle is not really into sports, he says. She's like a kite flying in the sky, and I'm kind of tethering her. Sometimes I have to hold on hard, but she knows I'm always there for her. The writer says, that was his quote. If you could, you know, put the vomit back in your mouth. The writer says their backgrounds are, in fact, very different. Quote, Giselle's life has been very non-traditional, says Brady. She left home at 14. She lived in Japan at 16 in an era with no cell phones. She lived in New York City at 17 without speaking English. In her mind, there are no boundaries. Why can't you do that? She would say. Why do you have to go to school? Why can't you just leave? Why can't you just leave and live in a different country? In her reality, you can. Coming from mine, it was very different. This is what you do. You go to elementary school, you go to high school, you go to college. In her mind, why do you have to do any of those things? And you know what? She's right. I'm the one that had to go, you're right, and that's helped me grow. So what's your takeaway on that?
That Brady, that this whole experience with the Patriots for him has been as traditional as it gets. Could it get any more traditional? Drafted by the team. You spend your whole career with the team. You're a good company man. You don't fight on every contract or quibble over the details. You appreciate what they give you. You do all of the standard stuff. All of it. And Giselle's influence on him is, Tom, you don't have to do it that way. You can do whatever way you want.
Who says you have to retire with the New England Patriots?
Totally. That's what I took out of it. I went, whoa, well, there you go. There's the comment.
She lived in Japan. She lived in New York City. She didn't speak English and went to a whole different country. Why can't you do that? Why can't you just leave and live in a different country? So for her, it's like, we have to be in Boston.
Right. What are you talking about, Tom? We don't have to be here. We can go do whatever we want, wherever we want. Like, whatever we pick, we control it. She, you know, has had the unique ability to really control pretty much every aspect of her life, or pretty close to it. He's, you know, he's followed sort of the standard steps that any American athlete would. I'm telling you, the whole thing, it feels to me like her influence is rubbed off on him. As often happens with couples, you become a little bit more like your spouse.
But I'm telling you, Maz, it starts with the Patriots contract offer.
Sure.
If the Patriots came in, 3 years, $90 million, half of it's guaranteed, like Roethlisberger or Breeze.
We're not having this conversation.
Right, that's right. About tethered kites and living in different countries. Yeah. It's only because
that's the source of his unhappiness.
Well, I mean,
his discontent.
They've opened the door for him.
Well, that's what I mean. Is as long as he's happy, you keep doing what you're doing because it works. But when you're not happy and it's not working anymore, she says, "Then what are you doing it for?"
I don't think it's unhappy. I think it's the team's commitment. The team's commitment.
But I say unhappy, dissatisfied.
If the team were committed to him, if he felt the team were committed to him and they put their money where their mouth is, we wouldn't be talking about any of this stuff.
Yeah, so when I say unhappy, I'm talking about unhappy with the commitment. He's not happy with the arrangement.
Fine.
He's not content with it. So, you know, if it reaches a point where you don't think it's worth it anymore, change it.
Dave in Franklin. Go ahead, Dave. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So I totally agree that if it comes down to it, Brady will play for another team. If the Pats say, "Hey, we're done. I know you want to play until 45, but we're going to move on," he will move. But I don't think that's this year or next year, rather, because Belichick just last week to Willie McGinnis said he hopes Tom is around for another 2 to 3 years. So I just feel like he's at an age now where you can't really just do the 3 year, you know, guaranteed deal. Like, you kind of have to go year to year.
Maybe that's a smart thing to do if you're the team, but that's not what other teams have done. And maybe those other teams are stupid because of it, but I'm just telling you, that's not Brady's that's not Brady's deal. Brady says the market is the market, and these other teams are doing it for these other guys. So why can't I expect the same thing?
He can totally feel that way. Like, you know, this idea that what Belichick said to Willie, yeah, you know, I hope he's around for another 2 or 3 or whatever it was.
Then pay him.
Yeah, the question was also put into his, you know, he was kind of led the
No, but the point is, if you want him here for another 2 or 3 years, guarantee future years, and he's here. and the story's over. But the team wasn't doing that.
Yeah, I don't think it's about Bill. As much as everyone wants to, I shouldn't say everyone, some people would like to pin this on Bill. It's not on Bill.
And the Crafts will. Bill advised us. You know, Bill said, you can do it, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, Bill advised him to keep Garoppolo, too. That didn't work.
Nope, not quite. It's true, but, you know, not many people minded that other than you, other than present company. we've got, I think, Rich in East Bridgewater has been waiting patiently. Rich, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Mike. I haven't talked to you guys in a while, but I think there's only one reason that Brady's leaving. And by the way, your real estate theory is 1,000% correct.
What's my real estate theory?
That he's leaving.
Oh, yeah. File the real estate, yes.
And the reason I believe 1,000% is that he hates Bill Belichick. Belichick's animosity towards him has been evident for the last 3 or 4 years.
Rich, let me ask you something. Let me just cut you off, okay?
Sure.
If the Patriots offered him 3 years, $90 million, over half of it guaranteed, would Tom Brady still be here?
Yes.
Okay, so the hatred of Bill Belichick is secondary, it's third. I mean, it starts with the team not being committed to him. That's where this whole thing starts.
Sure.
In his mind. That's it. If the team were committed to him on a contractual level like these other guys, his house would not be on the market. The kids would not be looking in Manhattan. He'd be here for that time because the team committed to him.
And in fact, if you think about it, it was really the source of his frustration with Garoppolo. It was the same thing. He viewed that as the team not being committed to him.
Okay, but that was different, where he was still at a stage of his career where he still wanted it here more than anything else, and the retirement wasn't on the table for him, and so he moved his ass back here. This is, again, my theory. I'm a little confused because I've said a few different things about real estate. But as it relates to these athletes, follow their real estate moves. And, you know, Jimmy Stewart knew about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant buying places in New York months ago. And it was the basis of him telling us those two are going to New York. He said it all season long because follow the real estate. LeBron James bought homes in Los Angeles and put his kids in school in Los Angeles. Where did he end up? Rob Gronkowski put his house on the market in Boston. Next thing you know, he retired. It's like, follow the real estate. So, I mean, I totally do believe that. If Tom Brady buys another place here, I'll reconsider. The kids are still in school here next year, I'll reconsider. But as it is...
Until that point, it's panic time.
I feel it's, to me, that's it, man. If he's out real estate-wise and the kids are in school in Manhattan, he ain't in Boston.
I mean, I told you earlier, to me, it feels like he's packing. That's what it feels like.
But again, just to bring this full, he's not packing because he hates Bill Belichick. He's not packing because they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not packing. He's packing because the team didn't give him a commitment. He's only here for the job. As much as that hurts us as Bostonians, he's only here because he has a good job. And now that the job he views is not committed to him long term, why is he here? I said, all right, G, they're not my great job. I want to stay here for the job, but I don't know if the job's going to be here. So let's just go. Let's go where we want to go. And that's what I think is happening. Long commercial free segment is next with a giveaway because I know you like free stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's Felger and Mez. We're mostly this Brady story because I think it is significant. I really do. To the point where I think this is Brady's last year now. Unless something changes, meaning he buys another house in Boston, kids stay in school in Boston, whatever. But it being what it is, him house hunting in Connecticut, kids interviewing at schools in Manhattan, him putting Brookline on the market, I think he's packing his bags and this is it. This is what I think. Murray thinks he's going to go play somewhere else, which I don't believe that, but I think this could be Brady's last year. I think it will be his last year unless something changes. All right, so that's mostly what we're talking about today. But this just dropped from Dan Shaughnessy. He mentioned this on the Midday Show with Beadle and Zoe as well. And oh, by the way, I'm giving you something for free here in a few minutes, a great gift from Core Golf and Natick. So stay tuned for that. But Shaughnessy mentioned this earlier during the Midday, and so I'll mention it here. He has just posted a column on the Boston Globe website. After an abysmal title defense, Dave Dombrowski's future with the Red Sox may be in jeopardy, says Dan. Dan writes, I'll be shocked if Dombrowski is back with the Red Sox next season. Boston's president of baseball operations has increasingly isolated himself with pals Frank Wren and Tony La Russa and has few friends inside Fenway's walls. Dombrowski is under contract for just one more season. He says, when you have the top payroll in baseball and don't make the playoffs, somebody has to go. Alex Cora isn't going anywhere. Dombrowski has been exactly what we thought he would be. He delivered a championship, but he gets the blame for the Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi contracts and for failing to address the bullpen need. He's clearly not the guy to oversee a much-needed farm system rebuild. Oh, that's just a little teaser portion. I haven't read the rest of it, but your reaction. Shaughnessy, who I will just interject from time to time, does informed opinion making. You know, he's tapped with some of the Red Sox quarters there. So I give this a little more yank because I don't just think it's throwing crap against the wall. I think he's hearing things. And so your thoughts on it?
He's not throwing crap against the wall. I can tell by the way it's written. Again, I'll be shocked if he's back. He's isolated himself with Wren and La Russa. I mean, he's got inside info. You know what? He's holed up in a corner somewhere with his two buddies, and he's not engaging and interacting with anybody in the building anymore.
Few friends inside Fenway's walls.
Yeah, listen, it's over. He's gone. He's gone. Shaughnessy's got a scoop. He's gone. They're gonna smoke Dombrowski. That's it. And so, I'm not totally shocked by this. I thought they might leave him as a lame duck, but go back to Henry's comments. Way back when they were in London, I think he made him to Rob Bradford initially, right? Where he says, you know, I mean, you bring back the same team after winning the World Series. I don't know if that's the best practice. That was a shot at the GM. I mean, that was a shot at the architect. So, like, the fact that this thing has gone the way it has, and I told you my feeling at the deadline was that there wasn't necessarily a payroll restriction, but Henry told Dombrowski, you're not trading away our top prospects because we have, like, two of them. Maybe one. So we're not moving those guys. You're not moving Cassius. We need to start protecting young players again. I'm willing to bet that happened. And again, I don't have inside info. I'm just telling you my gut. Mm-hmm. I think they've reached that stage. I will not be the least bit surprised if Dombrowski's out the door.
Is it the right move? Can I answer?
I'd say not necessarily, but tell me who they hire.
So Jimmy's going to get mad at you. No, it's not the right move. No, what? I mean, we can pick all sorts of things apart. I'm not telling you he's perfect or that he had a good year, but he's a known quantity. And I don't know. He's been here. This is his fourth year, three division titles, one World Series title. And up until just this last deadline, they were a game out of the wild card. Now it's sort of fallen apart, but
you're giving him too much credit.
I think he did what you brought him in here to do.
Okay, he did, but you're giving him too much credit. Look at what he inherited.
He's also a known baseball guy, a known qualified baseball guy. I'm, you know, and again, I'm not telling you he's the best GM I've ever seen or that I think he was brilliant or anything, but the next guy sort of scares me. So where's the next one?
Okay, so listen.
In-house.
I have no idea who the next one is.
You're going to elevate some nerd?
Eddie Romero.
That's what it says here in Shaughnessy's thing. Candidate to replace Dombrowski, Eddie Romero. So look, all I'm telling you is that I think you're giving him too much credit. Was the Kimbrel deal, was that hard to identify? What was the, you know, was signing Chris, or trading for Chris Sale or signing David Price, were those hard talents to identify?
No, you just needed the owner's checkbook.
He used someone else's prospects to trade for those players. He used someone else's checkbook to pay those players. Now, you want to give him Eovaldi or Steve Pierce? Fine, I'll give you those. But he's decimated the farm system.
So hold on, though.
I'm not even sure Alex Cora was his hiring.
I'm just thinking this through, so I might have missed if you just said. Did you say Chris Sale was a no-brainer?
I said that he acquired Chris Sale with someone else's prospects and someone else's money.
Okay, but that's still a call. You're giving away a top high-end prospect for a, at the time, 29, 30-year-old pitcher. I don't remember how old Sale was exactly at the time, but that wasn't a no-brainer,
mm-hmm.
and it helped bring you a championship, didn't it?
Yeah. And you also re-signed him to a five-year deal for $145 million before he threw a pitch this year.
Are you sure that was all Dombrowski?
That's on the owner.
I'm not convinced of that either.
Come on. The way that Henry talked about it at the time.
With the Lester thing, yeah. You know, that's a classic John Henry chasing the tail sort of move. We screwed up on this one, so we're going to overcompensate on that one.
Yeah, it's also Dombrowski's MO. He was right on board with it. He did it with Verlander, for crying out loud. He threw a ton of money at those guys in Detroit to keep his existing players. It's his MO, too. You want to tell me Henry's not exempt, I'll give you that one. But I'm not telling, don't tell me that it wasn't, Dombrowski wasn't on board with it.
I just think the guy wins two divisions, wins a World Series, and then the one down year, he's out.
Well, someone's going to have to take a fall for this year.
Lavangi's in trouble, and they can change the mix of players, but it is still arguably, I'm not apologizing or taking this back, with the top three most talented team in baseball. They are. You're nodding your head.
No, they are.
They are a top, roster-wise, top three team in baseball.
Right, and again, how many of those players did he inherit?
It just sounds like a panic move.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it's a panic move. I mean, maybe it is a little bit, but you're keeping the players.
Or just looking for a scapegoat or a fall guy. It's not the freaking players.
Okay, is Dombrowski the guy to rebuild the farm system?
That would not be my first choice, but I don't think they're at that stage yet.
Oh, I don't know. They're in the middle of their window.
I think you're looking to win the next couple of years, and then that day of reckoning is going to come.
And maybe the other thing is they're going to trade Mookie Betts, and he's not the guy to identify young talent in another organization. Maybe that's there, too. Like, I'm just talking about young players aren't his thing. They're not.
He traded for Miguel Cabrera when he was in Detroit, right?
Correct.
And he sent Andrew Miller and Dontrell Willis. Do I have that trade right?
I think they got Dontrell Willis, didn't they? They had to take Willis's contract.
Okay, so that was that.
Andrew Miller went in that deal.
I'm just trying to think how he did in some of those big trades. You know, and what side of it was he on at the time? Like, I'm going to have to go back and piece that together. I don't know. He's not the greatest I've ever seen. Some of those moves were easy. I'm with you. But a capable, experienced baseball guy. As opposed to another kid nerd, we're getting Ben Cherington back for John Henry to push around. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of your window? Because you're one off year?
I don't think this is Ben Cherington. And in the last, you know, whatever, 6 years, Charrington's get as many World Series as Dombrowski does. Like, I'm just telling you, I'm not a huge Dombrowski guy. I don't put him at the top of the list to blame at the trade deadline, because in retrospect, I think he made the right move. But now I wonder, maybe he was told not to make a deal. No, you're not going to make a deal, not for this team. No chance. Because I'm firing your ass in November, and you're not going to trade away any more of my prospects.
Okay, there's another thing to discuss. We have Brady out. This is Brady's last year.
I'll tell you what I would do if I were Henry real quick.
Now, according to Chauncey, this is Dombrowski's last year. He's out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.